You are locked into Locked On Badgers on a Monday. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny. We are the team at BadgersWire.com. We are both Wisconsin alums, and we bring you everything Wisconsin football and basketball right here on the Locked On Podcast Network and, of course, over at USA Today's BadgersWire.com. And we are getting you ready for football season all week this week on the show as Ben is back from Vermont, and we are back in action, bringing you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, all things Wisconsin sports. Make sure you listen and follow for free on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You will find Locked On Badgers. Also find us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers and at our personal accounts, ALOW_33 and Ben Z Kenny for all the updates on the show. You can always DM us, ask us anything, and let us know what you think of Locked On Badgers. Ben, let's get into it. We are going to be going through the defense, continuing our positional previews of Wisconsin's unit, and of course, talk a little bit about Miles Burkett's heroics this weekend for Franklin. And then you have not seen the ESPN top 100 ranking of college football players, but they just dropped it. I have seen it, and I'm going to ask you where you think certain guys would fall and then tell you where ESPN had them, and then we can react. That'll all be coming up at the end of the show, but we'll start with Miles Burkett in just a sec. But first, Ben, welcome back from your trip.
It's good to be back. I don't really fully disconnect when I'm there, because you can't, especially at this time of year. I'm still in tune with everything that's going on, but it's a very cleansing and like mind opening. That's not the right word. It's just a great experience to go golf and go hang out in a beautiful state like Vermont and the mountains. It's like Wisconsin, if Wisconsin had just a beautiful range of mountains throughout the entire state.
Are you an outdoorsy guy? Would you describe yourself?
I am an extremely outdoorsy guy.
So what are the outdoorsy activities? Best outdoorsy activities in Vermont?
A lot of hiking, which is sweet, and hanging out on and or near lakes. I used to kayak. I no longer kayak, but any water sports, pretty much anything in that area of the outdoors. And then golf. Played a lot of golf. It was fun.
Of course you play a lot of golf. That doesn't surprise me. I think wherever
I got my first lesson and it didn't, I'm not better at all.
What happened? What happened in your lesson?
I was taught how to do it well. And I just have a lot of work to do. You know, I'm not where I want to be.
All right. We'll see if you can get to where you want to be at some point soon. And that was your first ever professional lesson?
First ever lesson in general. It's kind of just like a self-taught.
All right, enough golf for the day, even though Ben could talk about it all day long. We're going to get
I'm also watching golf, by the way.
Shocker. We're going to get into the craziest comeback I've seen in a long time in Wisconsin high school football. And it involved Ben, Miles Burkett, who is Wisconsin's class of 2022 QB commit, a guy that was the first Badger commit, if you don't count Braylon Allen's reclassification, the first Badger commit in the class of 2022, a guy that is a leader already for this Wisconsin group, this future Wisconsin group. And he leads Franklin High School, a team that is highly ranked in the state of Wisconsin, a team that's expected to have a big season in Burkett's senior year. And they started with some serious adversity, Ben. They were down 17 points in the fourth quarter against Appleton North, and they ended up winning 35-31. The final drive started at their own 12-yard line with 41 seconds left.
Yeah, I am watching the video now.
Have you seen the final play? Is this the first time you're watching the final play?
It is. You know when you get a news guy, especially someone who covers high school sports, you know when you get him to say bleep, like not the curse word, but to say the word bleep in a tweet, you know it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was Travis Wilson, Wisconsin Sportsnet, who tweeted out, quote, "Holy bleep." Franklin scores with 4 seconds on the clock. Sabres up 35-31. He was the one that put up that video on Twitter. So shout out to him for putting that up. But it was a crazy deflected tip pass to Jacques Brooks that gave Franklin the win. Burkett lobbed it flat-footed from like 45 yards out, lobbed it to the end zone, and a tip found it in the hands of Brooks for the win in the end zone. Awesome stuff for the Badger, starting his Friday Night Lights senior season 1-0. We're going to get into Wisconsin position previews, as we are all week on the show. We're going to head back to the defense. We already did a little bit of the defense 2 weeks ago, but we were heading back to that unit and talking inside linebacker and talking secondary. Ben, where do you want to start with these two position groups?
Let's do inside linebacker because we did outside linebacker last time, which is an interesting position. Two returning starters, but a lot of depth and talent behind them. Inside linebacker is the exact same as it was last year, so it's not going to take much time to outline where the team stands. But in my opinion, it's the best duo in the conference.
You stand by that heading into the year?
I do stand by that. And I like schools, there are specific linebackers that are better, but as a duo, productivity and overall impact, there's not a better duo. I'll give you Micah McFadden. Sure, he could be better than Sanborn and Chanel, but the two paired together and how they're used, there is no position group in the conference that rivals that.
Let's talk a little bit about Leo Chanel, because Jack Sanborn had the headlines heading into the year last year, Ben. And I think Leo grabbed them, at least from kind of the harder core Wisconsin football fans. Leo grabbed some of those headlines as the year went on and heading into this year. A lot of guys are really excited about what he brings.
Definitely. So in 2020, his numbers compared to Sanborn, they're very similar, but there's a little more pop. You're talking about 6 tackles for loss to Sanborn's 4, 3 sacks to Sanborn's 1. They each had a forced fumble. Chanel had a big interception against Michigan. But the thing is for me, now while you could look at those numbers and say, wow, like he was the unit's best, him and Sanborn were the same level of productive last season, because we saw so often that either Sanborn would seal a running back or seal an offensive lineman for Chanel to get downhill and hit a hole, or the other way around. The way that they worked in tandem was awesome. But if you're talking about Chanel specifically, I mean, his open field quickness and speed, his ability to close gaps between him and either a running back, or let's say he's rushing a quarterback or helping out when a tight end catches a pass. Overall, his closing speed, I guess it is, in whatever setting he needs to go out there and make a tackle, is remarkable. He is always in the quarterback's face so much quicker than you would ever expect.
So Leo Chanel is a guy that didn't have a ton of experience heading into last year, Ben. He had certain games where, especially early season games, the USF game, CMU, Kent State, where Wisconsin won those 3 games by at least 48-0, if not more, in all 3 of those. And because of that, he was able to get on the field quite a bit in the second halves of those games. Didn't play a ton in conference. And then, of course, had to come into the Ohio State game under unfortunate circumstances in that second half. But what did you see from him in terms of lack of experience coming into the year and how he grew in the year as experience was gained?
Well, he was definitely raw. Going back to 2019, you saw some potential there, but you also saw a super young guy compared to a Chris Orr, who he had replaced, or when he came in for a snap. So but it was clear after that year, with Orr gone to the NFL, that it was going to be him and Sanborn. So you saw potential, but him, like a lot of Wisconsin's young players, when you see that they're going to be good for that first year, like you see the flash, but they still have to fill out their body. Their athletic profile is still going to improve. And then all of the holes in their game are going to be fixed. So going into last year, I was excited to see what he would do with all the snaps, because we knew about the speed, we knew about the agility, the tackling, and we knew that him and Sanborn could work well together. So now, after what we saw last year, because again, when you paired them with the front of that defensive line, they just wreaked absolute havoc. And Jim Leonard had a field day with them, because as I was explaining, there were some plays where Wisconsin would have a 4-man front and Sanborn would find his way into the backfield or somewhere along the line and seal off a hole for Chanel to run through. There were a lot of plays that either one of them made that the other really was the one who made that play happen. So I just love how they work together. And going this year, they have different exact strengths. Now, Sanborn, he's not talked about as a great defender in pass coverage, but there were some flashes, especially in the Minnesota game against Muhammad Ibrahim, of him going out and guarding him on a little wheel route that he was step for step, would have been a touchdown otherwise. I think he is formidable in that part of the game, but just their presence there and how Leonard uses them in the defense, it's just lethal. I don't know how else to explain it.
Do you think inside linebacker is Wisconsin's most important defensive position, given how Jim Leonard sets up his 3-4?
Well, important is a word. I would definitely say most utilized. Now, you could put you could put a non-NFL player back there, which in recent memory, we've seen a lot of NFL guys play that position for the Badgers. You could put a non-NFL player there, and he'll still put up good numbers just because of how heavily utilized they are, just to make – they're asked to do so much and make so many big plays. Important is hard because it's really just the entire defense, but I would say that they have the biggest impact, them two, on the game.
Got you. Let's finish up with Jack Sanborn a little bit. Where does he take the next step from a guy that was on all kinds of watch lists last year, was third-team All-America for Pro Football Focus last year, and is a guy that once again is on all sorts of watch lists and a guy that is being circled by opposing offenses when you come to play this Wisconsin defense. His senior season, where does he go from last year to this year?
So his 2019 stats do pop more than his 2020 stats. And even with the shortened season, he had 9 tackles for a loss in 2019, 5.5 sacks, 3 interceptions. But it's not getting the numbers back to that level of a full season with a lot of turnovers and a lot of disruption. Because as I said, he makes plays that show up on someone else's stat sheet. He's still there in the impact. It is kind of what I mentioned earlier. Now, the Big Ten is a very classic conference in how they play. When you play Iowa, you're going to face a good run game, and you have to shut that down. You're not really going to be spread out and have a linebacker have to go guard a running back who splits out wide. But that is, if there's one part of the game, especially when he goes to the next level, is having that prowess in coverage and just overall in the drop back game. Because we've seen him excel. He's obviously great at going downhill at the quarterback and an exceptional tackler, but it's dropping back that if he takes that next step forward, then he's like dominant NFL level linebacker. He's already going to go to the league, but if he could become really good in coverage and dropping back, that's just a crazy combination of skills to translate to the next level.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sweatblock. Sweatblock is a wipe that is doctor created and doctor recommended to erase sweat, and it works up to 7 days per use. All you have to do is the night before, take a Sweatblock towel wipe and wipe it all over wherever you think you will have sweat, and then boom, it is your secret to confidence. Your sweat will diminish. It is a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 satisfied customers through that platform, manufactured in the USA, and it comes with the dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock does not keep you dry, you get your money back. The best part about Sweatblock is you can get 20% off right now with promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, capital L, capital O, Locked On, capital L, capital O, at sweatblock.com, or of course, you can buy Sweatblock at Amazon or CVS today. Getting back to the Wisconsin football position preview, we are headed to the back of this defense talking about Wisconsin's secondary, which I think, and Ben, it's like you said, basically every position could have an argument for most important in a defense, in a good defense, because it all works harmoniously together. But I think the secondary would have another really, really good case in terms of importance, especially last year when we saw this defense struggle. It was this unit, I think, that began those struggles, in my opinion, at least.
Yes. You look at, and they were dealt a tough hand because of how many times the defense was backed up. But you look at that Iowa game, and Amir Smith-Marset was able to run circles around the secondary, even against Wake Forest when Sam Hartman threw 4 interceptions. For the first quarter and a half of that game, the Wake Forest receivers were getting whatever they wanted. So some of, and even though Wisconsin still won that game, some of the late struggles, definitely the secondary had a hand in those. But it is always a good thing when you can return 2 starters, especially veterans that have done it for a while.
The one veteran that has done it for a while that is no longer there, Eric Burrell, who had a really nice beginning to his preseason career with the New Orleans Saints in the NFL, no longer there at safety. And replacing him, you have the combination of Scott Nelson and Colin Wilder. Wilder, who has a lot more experience than Nelson does. Of course, Nelson missed an entire year that he would have probably started most of the year during that season. That was 2019, got injured in that South Florida game and came back last year, but limited snaps for him over the last 2 years. And that's a concern after he looked really good as a true freshman. Wilder, a lot more experience, not necessarily a guy that's going to absolutely blow you away this year, but certainly brings experience and leadership to that room.
Yeah, it is. Scott Nelson is more up and down of a player. We see him make some really impressive plays, especially in run defense, coming downhill to tackle running backs or to pressure quarterbacks. And he has the athletic profile and the athleticism to really get around and make wow plays where you're like, whoa, like that is not something I expected him to be able to do. Then there are also some plays on the other end of the spectrum. But I mean, I preach experience is very important, as does everybody in college sports. But I like, even though he doesn't have all of the on-field experience, he's been around the program for a while. And I think just the more he plays, the better he gets at picking his spots, being in the right location. And Eric Burrell helped him a lot with that. But I'm confident in him stepping up and being that number one most important safety back there. Wilder, I'm more questionable of just because of some of the coverage stuff. But I like, he's also a vet. And he's not gonna go out and lose you games, if that makes sense. I like, not that I'm down on him, but he's not like, you go into the year talking about the defense. He's not a guy that I'm circling as an impact player that we're gonna talk about after every game.
Do you think there's anybody that, before we get to the corners, do you think there's anybody in that safety room that we could be talking about, whether it's a really young guy, whether it's like a Hunter Waller or a Preston Zachman or somebody with a little more experience that could kind of make a name for themselves this year? Do you think there'll be a third or fourth guy that we're talking about during this season?
Well, there's been a lot of chatter about both John Torchio and Travion Blaylock, both as backups, but they both have a chance to steal some snaps, especially if someone gets injured. And Hunter Waller probably won't have a big role, the highly touted freshman who came in, but the conversation around him coming out of camp and during really the entire offseason has been, wow, like this kid is just making wow plays, and he's a wow kind of freshman to come in. But no, I do not think that. I think those are the set two, barring an injury or really, really poor play.
Got you. The corners, I think, are arguably the most interesting position to talk about, because I think this duo, expected starting duo, and I think you'll see some mixing and matching here, but the expected starting duo of Williams and Hicks are guys that could be arguably the best corner duo in this conference, and also guys that could have days where they get kind of shaken up. And Caesar Williams, I don't think anybody's been more up and down on this defense than him over the past few years.
Yes, and we have seen some, oh my gosh, he just made a game-saving play and or plays type of performance. You can look right at Minnesota 2019.
Exactly.
He's matched up on the goal line. It's 3rd and 5. He has literally a one-on-one jump ball situation with Tyler Johnson, who's now on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He breaks up the first pass. They go right back to him. Fourth and five from the goal line. And he breaks up the pass again. Turnover on downs. Wisconsin gets the ball right back. I believe it was a screen or some type of draw to Groshek. He takes it far down the field. Wisconsin scores again. The game is over. So he has that. And then, as I said, it was more of a secondary wide struggle at times last year. Amir Smith-Marset had a huge game against the Badger secondary and Williams specifically. And then the Wake Forest wide receivers were able to find success. But I don't want to chalk it. It's not a one person thing. It's the secondary as a whole struggled last year, especially after Wild Goose went down against Northwestern. There was a lot of young guys that had to play a lot of snaps, and it just wasn't the best performance. And we're saying that still the defense was great. So if that's the lowest bar, then it's only going to be good this year.
So there's a hype train in this position that has been just revving up, ready to absolutely take off at tremendous speeds. And you know where I'm going with this?
I don't.
Probably the guy that I've seen in terms of a very, very unexpected name to come up. Probably the guys whose name I've seen the most come up this offseason out of the players' mouths, coaches, whatever, in practice, and a guy that's really just impressed in practice. And it's Amon Williams, who was a walk-on in the class of 2020 out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Amon Williams, and he's been getting interceptions in practice. He's been everywhere. His teammates have been talking about him. Jim Leonard said, quote, the ball just finds him. And the ball's been finding him a ton over the past couple of months. A guy that was a late addition to this Wisconsin group with a preferred walk-on offer out of Milwaukee Riverside, but he's really been making some headlines, Ben.
Yes, and I was going to mention this. When Braylon Allen had that ridiculous sideline run, Amon Williams was the one he stiff-armed, just if you want to take one play and use it completely out of context. But yeah, it is a behind Williams and Fayon Hicks, who are the two pretty much locked to be starters. It is a pretty deep room, and it's a lot of guys we saw towards the end of last year. One guy, in addition to Williams, that I'm excited to watch is Alexander Smith, maybe the team starter in the nickel spot. But then you still have Dante Burton. We've seen Samar Melvin, Dean Ingram. Last year, especially the Duke's Mayo Bowl, we saw a lot of new faces step on the field in the secondary, and I think that'll prove to be positive. While it was still Sam Hartman gifting the Badgers the game that ended up having the defense look like they played well, like they still got torched at times by those Wake Forest wide receivers. But I am excited for how deep the room is, even behind Williams and Hicks.
Let's get to the ESPN top 100 in just a sec.
Wait, I need ESPN to say one thing first.
Yeah, close it
very
out.
Very importantly. So I just saw this on Twitter, and Duke's Mayo is trying to get into the mainstream again. It's so infuriating that they will never just talk about the blatant frame job that they put on Graham Mertz dropping that trophy so they can gain more brand recognition. They're trying to like give away things of their Mayo so people can talk about it. I'm trying to open the people's eyes because that was one of the biggest travesties of last year.
Do you think the trophy's going to break again?
I don't know. The thing is, now everyone's going to care because everyone's going to be like, oh, you think the trophy's going to break? The game's probably going to suck.
No, the game will be awful. I guarantee it. I can absolutely guarantee it. But
you're right. I feel like they'll be tweeting.
Even if the trophy doesn't break again, we'll still be talking about, oh, the Duke's Mayo Bowl trophy again. That's going to be given out. Is there going to be a Mayo bath?
I'm going to be tweeting at them all night.
It was good. It was good branding, but you got to expose them at some point. I mean, you got to tell the truth. And the truth is, it was a frame job.
Yeah, if you're listening, if you're listening and you see the tweet Duke's Mayo just put out, just get a little hashtag in the mentions. Mertz was framed. The people need to know.
Mertz was framed. Duke's Mayo Bowl broke the trophy on purpose to have all of us talk about the trophy. Still, on August 23rd, we're talking about the Duke's Mayo Bowl trophy. So they win.
No, I'm talking about their stupid tweets.
No, I know, but they win. All press is good press, Ben.
This is true.
All press is good press. Almost all press is good press. Almost. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game. 9 delicious flavors: coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Every single flavor I just mentioned is available if you get the mixed box, which is, in my opinion, the way to go. 2 of each of those 9 flavors come in that mixed box, and every bar, no matter what the flavor is, no matter how candy, chocolatey, caramely the flavor sounds, every bar, 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today, get that raspberry mint brownie, get whatever the heck you like at builtbar.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by betonline.ag. It is that time of year again. Everybody's turning towards football as the Packers get ready to start their season. And as always, BetOnline is the top spot to bet on all pro and college football action this season. Wisconsin getting started in just 2 weeks. They are around a -4.5 favorite over at betonline.ag against Penn State right now. You can get all the updated odds, props, and contests, everything you need to bet on the NFL at betonline.ag. And you will also get a 100% welcome bonus, 100% welcome bonus if you use the promo code locked on at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. ESPN ranked the top 100 players in college football. And boy, the top 100 rankings, no matter what it is, top rankings in any sport, Ben, are always tremendous content.
Yes, I like rankings.
They're always, I will admit, top rankings for guys, always tremendous content because there is no consensus. It's always fun. And somebody's always wrong. I mean, there's nobody that's just like, yep, those 100 look great.
Like Asher, nobody... as we speak, I'm quote tweeting every single Duke's Mayo tweet from the last, say, 3 months, asking them when they're going to tell us.
Go check it out at Ben Z. Kenny right now on Twitter. If you Want to check out the Duke's Bale Bowl.
Yeah, they said
with his tinfoil hat on. Twitter rant.
Name a better alliance than tomatoes, bread, salt, pepper, and Duke's mayo, which, by the way, sounds like a terrible sandwich. I said Duke's awesome. Mayo with purposely shattering trophy so people finally talked about their brand.
That sounds awful. Wow. Roasted. Top 100 players in college football. And at number one, Ben, I'll give you some hints. Let's see if you can get it with two hints. He was a guy that last year was not rated in the top 100. And he is a QB in a conference that has...
Spencer Rattler.
Yes, you got it. Spencer Rattler it is. Spencer Rattler, the, I'd say, Heisman favorite heading into the year. And a guy that is number one in the ESPN 100. So now let's get a little more creative because I want to go through this and give some Big Ten flavor, but also just see where you think guys land. I'm going to give you two players right now at different spots, and I want you to tell me who you think is rated higher and where you think they are rated, all right?
Sure.
You ready for it?
Yes.
Our first player, and don't say it yet, our first player is Jack Sanborn, a guy that we just talked about.
Oh, he was in the top 100?
He is in the top 100.
Oh, yeah.
Our second player is none other than Michael Penix Jr.
Huh.
Very different players. One coming off of a good year until the injury. The other coming off a solid year as well. Both expected to lead their team. Where do you think Jack Sanborn and Michael Penix Jr. fall? Who do you think's higher?
Gut reaction, definitely Penix is higher. I would put him around 25.
Okay.
Sanborn is 30. I would say Penix 25 to 30 range. Sanborn is somewhere in the 50s.
So your Big Ten bias is showing. You are correct. Michael Penix is higher up than Jack Sanborn, but he's at 45.
Wow.
Jack Sanborn, 81.
Yeah. I figured, but I didn't want to believe it.
Two more Big Ten guys, shall we? A guy that I think is going to be one of the best, if not the best defensive player in this conference coming into the year, George Karlaftis at Purdue, Ben.
Yep.
And a guy that is the bigger name probably nationally, although Karlaftis gets a lot of love, but nationally playing for Ohio State probably will get a little bit more of the headlines given how many games they're going to win. Haskell Garrett, who's using his extra year of eligibility and has the most game experience of any Ohio State defensive player, 41 games played. Same position here with two different guys in the Big Ten, Haskell Garrett and George Karlaftis. Who's higher and where are they?
Oh, wow. I feel like Garrett is definitely higher just because of how much recognition someone like him in Ohio State gets. I would put him in the 50s. The thing is, now the Sanborn thing tripped me up. Karlaftis, give it 77. Garrett, I don't know, 61.
All right, we have Garrett in at 31. Sorry, right, 30.
I am
Garrett in at 30, and Karlaftis in at 71. So George,
I'm not as smart as I thought I was.
41 spots below Garrett, which I think is a little bit ridiculous, but I understand it given the Ohio State Purdue type of thing. Is that fair?
Yes, extremely.
I think that's the reason for it. Who is Ben, the highest ranked player coming into the year in the Big Ten Conference?
Huh.
I'll give you one hint, or do you want one?
One broad one.
He plays for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah. Chris Olave.
Bang. Good job.
All right, that plays. Otherwise, I would have really had to question what I'm doing with my life.
Number six overall coming into the year.
In the country?
In the country.
That's that. I don't know.
Number six overall coming into the country.
That's kind of insane.
Number six. That is kind of insane, honestly. That is kind of insane. Let me look for one more fun thing out of this. Let's see what we got.
Is there a certain quarterback that plays for an independent school that's on the list?
If there was, you don't think I'd already gotten to that?
True.
No, Jack Cohn is not on the list at all. Oh, wait, I got something for you. I got something for you here. Speaking of Jack Cohn, because we can always relate it back to Jack, I think I saw someone say that the other Notre Dame QB should be like an honorable mention. One of the ESPN guys. I'm trying to see. Even though he's not starting. Oh, I love this one. The Lane Train. Matt Corral, number 18 in the country.
Matt Corral, number 18 in the country?
Matt Corral, sorry, yeah. Number 18 in the country.
Is that
not absurdly high?
It is definitely absurdly high, but I don't hate it.
His stats are going to look great.
I know. And I'm buying into Ole Miss this year.
You are? How much are you buying into the Lane Train this year?
I'm going to put some of my reputation on them being good because I'm going to talk about it like I know that they're going to be good.
Mm. Ben, I was a little wrong on the Jack Cohn thing, but here's what I'll close with. So Tom Luganville at ESPN, they were asking him which players will be on the preseason true freshman All-America list. He had Tyler Buechner on there, and he said in his explanation that while Jack Cohn has the experience, Buechner is just too talented to ignore. It would not be surprising to see plenty of him throughout the year.
We'll see
plenty of him, right?
No way.
Too talented to ignore.
No, but that's a well-crafted sentence, you know? Like, sure, you could say that, but it's not true.
It's a well-crafted sentence. All right, we got at least you respecting how well-crafted the sentence is. As always, on Wisconsin, we will see you tomorrow. Ben, glad you're back, and glad that Jack Cohn can still come up every day on this show.